Therefore, arise is vibration, and then the negative and the positive. And so we have time to compare. And then we begin to understand what is good, what is bad, what is wisdom, what is ignorance then. But it is fun, no? It's fun. If there is no opposite forces, then probably we always be in ignorance. We cannot appreciate God's love and mercy. So it is also has some purpose. There is the other theory in Buddhism. People believe that there is no God. So the Catholic people call the Buddhist atheist, no? Is that the right word for it? The non-believer, the pagan. Huh? Pagan? Mm. No, the Buddhists deny that they are atheists. They say they, of course they don't believe in God, but they believe in Buddha. So both of them are fighting desperately, intellectually. Now I think the Buddha means, when he says there is no God, he doesn't mean to believe in a non-God. He only means that there is no personal, you know what I mean? A one who sits there and say you are bad, you are good, and punish this one and I say giving reward to that one. But what he means is that the ocean of love and mercy, which has no name, and the name which you cannot name is a real name. So actually all the countries enlightened and different country people, enlightened people speaking in different fashion. And so the unenlightened people are easy to get into confusion. Besides, there is a big mechanism of priestcraft. Unenlightened priest and priesthood, priestcraft, which scare people into all kinds of things in order to catch the devotees for their own selfish motive or their own desire and thirst for power and fame, and that's the only reason. If they are all enlightened, then they could respect all kind of religious scriptures and understand how to go inside and get them contact with God, and then knows all things without having to refer to the language. That is what the Lao Tzu say, knowing without knowledge. And then he also say, the wise are similar to the ignorant. Anybody understand this? Why is that you become so wise and then you look like an ignorant? Do you know? Anyone know? I give you $5. $10? No? Priceless answer. Nobody knows. Yes. Oh, behind you is first. So maybe. Yeah, that's you. That's you. I'm sorry. He's first. Yeah. I got it. I got your idea. He means that the wise one knows that the stupid one would never agree with him anyhow. Is it not so? Because he's doing things and seeing things are so different. So he don't expect the stupid ones to understand him. Therefore, whatever the stupid ones say, the wise man say, yeah, maybe like that. Okay, carry on. Is it not so? Yeah, this is similar like that. And you have any different idea? Yeah, that's it. That is also true. He says the more one learns, the more one realizes how ignorant one is. And so one stops chatting. And then stop making comments. And making, discussion. Yeah. One become more humble, that's right. Yeah. So it looks like one learns more and become more stupid, more ignorant, more humble. Yeah. But actually, he means we're more humble. That is more correct word. Yes. Actually, the more one learns, the more humble one becomes. Because one realizes that everyone has God's nature. As the Buddha's wisdom, And one can learn from each and every one of our neighbor. And one can respect and love each and every one of our human being encounter on the street. So one become actually more humble. Maybe Lao Tzu means one became more humble. That's what it means. Yeah, I do agree with you both. So I think later you'll get $10 from me. Oh, you have to do it for free. You cannot always wait for the price. But anyhow, I have said it, so you get it. Yeah. This is good. Mm. So what is it that makes one so humble? It is the vast knowledge of the universe that one could never understand enough that makes one humble. When, for example, when we are in the primary school, we learn how to add in numbers, like 4 and 4 make 8, and 3 and 3 make 6, and later we learn more complicated things, like 2 tomatoes. I say 1 tomato is $3, so if I buy about 3 tomatoes, how much? And then later, somebody else was buy again for me 1 tomatoes less, so I have only 2. So now how much do I have to pay, and how much that person, and all this kind of complication. And if we have solved this mystery, and we feel very proud, and we come home and tell our parents how great we are at school, and we can make 1 tomatoes less and 2 tomatoes more without any problem. And we can make the numbers working and running, and we feel so proud. And that is our small accomplishments, and we feel very proud. And later when we go to high school and college, this petty proud washes themselves away, because we know this is so little we know. Is that not so? Yes, similar things. Those who practice very little, they boast a lot. They like to let people know they have superpower and demonstrate it in the public, or write books about it, and charge people money for it. Of course, that is the ultimate, okay? We cannot forget that. And then, but those who practice very high level, they cannot use this thing anymore. They feel ashamed if they ever have to use it, if they are even forced to use it. Remember the story of Moses? When he came back to the kingdom of his before, he was banished for a while, and he went to the desert, and then he did not die, and then he had seen God, and he had seen the flame, and hear the thunder, remember? As this inner vibration and the inner light. So now we know, if we practice this method. Before I didn't know what it means. Why is it God's voice like a thunder? And why is it he appear like a big flame? It sounds so terrible, so scary. But no, the fire isn't the fire, and the thunder isn't the thunder. The thunder is so soothing that we will want to listen to it again and again. It's not the thunderous and boisterous outside thunder, but it's the inner one that heals all kind of sickness and ignorance and arrogance and all kind of misery. But I may inform you, the thunder inside even is not the highest sound that you should listen to. It's only one of those high beginner. There are others which are more, I would say, enchanting, more wisdom offering. And I think, I don't know how to explain, it's everything in it. Now I just forgotten what is that, where I was before. I'm getting old. What was it? Moses, yeah. Now, when Moses came back to the king, and he was showing off his miracle, no? He made the sticks became the snake. Oh, and then afterward he repented. He said, I'm sorry, forgive me, God, for misusing your power. And that is the attitude you should have in the beginning anyway. And remember the story of Jesus? when he went to the marriage party, huh? And he has to make wine out of water. Wasn't he so willing and so proud and so immediate doing this? No, he wasn't. He even slightly so-called scold his mother. Why have you disclosed this thing to people? Is that not so? Yeah. He blamed his mother for being so kind of big mouth or something. How do you say that? Yeah, actually, talk too much. Yeah, that's right. I dare not say big mouth, that will kill me. Actually, in this modern language, we may say like that. Talk too much. But actually, because he respect his mother, and his mother already prepared everything. She told people, quickly, fill the buckets with water, fill the jugs with water, and put over there, and wait for Jesus. So he was forced into this situation, and he was so embarrassed. Was it not so? Yeah. That is the attitude of the wise. When they have to do these unavoidable things in unavoidable situations, they feel very ashamed, not proud. That is the way to discern between a real and a false master. The false master always advertise for their small, petty, miraculous power. The real master never. If he has to do it, they do it in secret. Only the disciples know. And only when necessary, in order to help the disciple out of some awkward situation, or to heal their sickness, or to help them mentally, or to help them in their spiritual progress. And the disciple knows so well how great their master are. And they know very well. They alone know. No wonder when Jesus or Buddhas were alive, people worshiping them like God, because they know how great the master are. Only they know. And so the outside people look in them, worshiping them, their master like God, worshiping them more than the average priest and monks or other so-called prophets. Then they became jealous, they became angry. So arise all kind of, attacking and, harming them. If only these real masters demonstrate to the people at large how great they are and how many kind of miraculous power they possess, then you could imagine how many people will run to them. They don't have to do anything more. Do not to spend so much money. Just go on TV and make some few tricks. Yeah? And that would be enough. I'll heal some sick people in front of thousands. And that will be the end of their mission. Everybody will come to their feet. And no need to do any more advertisement. And no need to do so very hard working and running from one place to another. But they are not to do that. They cannot. They are not in a position to do so, and they are so humble to do so. They cannot even imagine doing such thing. That is the problem. But only their disciples know how great they are and any kind of power the master do possess. There is nothing in this universe that doesn't belong to a real master like Jesus or Buddha, or anyone that's attained their level. Understand that? The whole universe is their home. Every living thing, every grass belong to them and obey them at will. But they do not exercise this authority to press on anything, because they have the quality of God. And God is free will, freedom. Live, let live. Love and love only. No pressure, no pushing, no controlling, no hinting, no tricking, no using any power to convert people, but using wisdom, logic only, in order to appeal to their own wisdom, so that they themselves awaken. They awaken themselves, understand? Not by any power of hypnotism. The master can hypnotize, can do all kind of power, all kind of miracles, but they don't do. Because they came from God, and God is all free. God is not interfering with people's business. God doesn't mess around, mess in others' affair. He lets you alone to decide which path you follow, which way of life you choose, and which realm you want to enter. You want to go to heaven, He opens. If you want to go to hell, He's also free of charge. But the way to heaven, the road to heaven is difficult to follow because narrow is the way that leads to life. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And so many will walk therein. Why is it the road to God is so narrow? Some even say it's like a blazer edge, no? So sharp and so difficult to walk on. It is because the road and the way to it is a contradict to our way of thinking and to the worldly desires and temptations. We have to swim in the ocean, but also have to protect our clothes from getting wet. That's how it is. We have to live in this world with all temptation and struggles, and yet we have to keep discipline and purity like the lotus born from the mud, but so pure, so clean, and so fragrant. And that's how we have to become saint in the hell. In Buddhism, there is a saint. Legend has it that he is forever in hell because he vowed to save the sentient beings in hell. Now, we imagine no one can live in hell because the hell is so hot, full of fire and all kind of punishments. How can a saint, a bodhisattva, means a Buddha of second degree, can live in hell and forever live there? It is possible by the force of compassion and the power of love. You are become, how say, immutable, is that right, the word? To any harm and to any, any trap. An ordinary person, if we go to hell, we immediately get burned and we cannot bear the heat of it. But a saint or anyone who practices saintly path can go there and visit and have no harm. It is because of the protection power from the master. It means God's protection. Now we all know that we all have God inside, because God is within you. We are told like that in the Bible. Then why we couldn't find Him? Because we're too busy. We have no time to make contact with Him. And whenever we have time, then we go to church. And then we talk a lot. We sing a lot. Also busy. Busy looking at the words in the Bible, otherwise we will sing it wrong. Are doing some wrong rituals, making the priest angry. So we are always busy with the outside performance and have no room to have an intimate talk with God. Therefore we cannot find Him. That is the only secret. And now, if you want to find Him, then I actually have nothing much to teach you except how to be quiet. And at which time to catch God is the best, which is the hour. We can make a rendezvous with Him every day. And then at exact time, he will appear. And then when we are so acquainted with him, he appears anywhere, anytime, any hours. And even we are so acquainted with him that even other will see God in us also, or near us, stand by. That is so good. And then this so-called God power will flows out like ocean, like stream, and benefit anyone that come nearby. Like a sandalwood tree, and make all trees around it become fragrant by the sandalwood. Like a perfume shop, anyone comes in, smell the nice fragrance of free of charge. And sometimes you go to a perfume shop, the shopkeeper will chip, yeah, give you a free chip spray, and you come out, you also feel so nice. Yeah. It is the same with a self-realized soul. He emits a kind of godly fragrance and a super mundane virtue that everyone would love to be near, and everyone will feel naturally comfortable.